because I believe so strongly that God's word addresses all needs in his people's lives. And if preachers were committed to teach and preach his scriptures, just straight through scripture, that God's going to address the needs in his people's lives, period. I just believe that. And so I am not one and have never been one to sit down and say, okay, what are we facing? What's going on in people's lives? Well, let's use this message for that. I just don't do that. I let God do that in your lives through the Holy Spirit and through the preaching of his word. So with that in mind, this is the one Sunday that I normally will just pick a topic and something that's been on my heart and issues on my heart. And this topic that I'm preaching or going to share with you this morning is a topic that I don't talk about very much at all to anybody. And I except my wife, of course. And it is a hard topic to address. And so with me having the conviction that I have about the sacred desk and this pulpit and any pulpit that God has established, and also me not wanting to ever cover this topic, I stand before you trembling. But this is a topic that for months now I've actually been jotting notes down and little points that I've been working on for months, thinking and praying. And there have been several times I thought, oh, I'm not going to preach. It'll be something else. Something will come up at Ligonier and I'll go, that's it, and address it. And, but this is what I believe the Lord wants us to hear this morning. Turn to Haggai chapter 1. That's going to be the first. We're going to go to so many passages of scripture. Now, if you go to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and take a left, you'll be right. But now listen, don't take a sharp left. Just go back, I think, three books and you'll be in Haggai. Chapter 1, but there's a verse I want to start with in that. And the issue that we're going to address today is money. We're going to talk about money today and finances. And if you want a copy of my notes, there's going to be a lot of passages of scripture. And listen, there's so many more passages of scripture that I limited it greatly. Matter of fact, even this morning I was scratching out verses saying it's not going to be a tsunami of passages, but you're going to have a lot of passages this morning. And this is going to be the title before we pray. We're about to pray. A God-honoring attitude towards money. And I pray that what I'm about to share with you today will help you, no matter what age you are, no matter where you are. And maybe you can take these notes and help somebody else with it. Help the younger generation. I'm telling you right now, there are people in our congregation that are enslaved. They are slaves because of debt. They are. And the younger generation is getting deeper and deeper enslaved. They're getting caught. And part of it is the depth of their spiritual walk. Because the bottom line is, I was going to start with this verse, and this is not even a verse I was going to use, was Matthew 6. It's not even in my notes. I took it out, was 6:21, about where your treasure is where. And that is so true. You can look at, and I'm telling you, how you deal with your money, it's either hindering your spiritual walk with the Lord or it's helping your spiritual walk. I'm being serious about this. And when we counsel, when Beth and I have, when we have the blessing to be able to counsel young people that are about to get married, because guys, and that's something else, young people today are not looking for godly counsel. They're not. They're not coming and asking for help on making decisions. But when we have the opportunity to sit down with young couples before they get married, you better believe this is one of the issues that we bludgeon them, is a better way of putting it. Oh, she said I bludgeon them. But if y'all have ever been in a situation where you're talking with Beth and I together, I'm going to just say this. I'll probably get in trouble later. I'm the nice one. I know y'all don't believe that, but yeah, just, okay. She said it. It's true. So, all right. So, let's pray and then we'll begin. Lord, thank you for this time and please help us. Lord, I stand before you and your people undone. And a man of imperfections, a man that has failed so many times in this area, Lord, but you, God, have been so gracious. Help us get a grip on this issue and help us to be able to minister to other people and minister to people in our church, in our families, Lord, our friends. Lord, please help us. These principles that we are about to look at, I believe they're as important as our Reformed doctrine. Help us, Lord, to be able to handle the treasures of this world and the Babylon that we're living in and deal rightly with it before you, that we honor you in this area. Lord, please, God, do a work in our lives. Please help New Hope Baptist Church. Lord, there's young couples in our church that already in just a few years are so enslaved to debt, they may never get out. Lord, please help us. Please, God, help us on this issue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So before I read this passage, I want to share with you, after I became a believer, I would listen to this radio, and this goes way back. Now, some of you will remember this. Before I even knew there was a Beth Snyder that was walking this earth and that would steal my heart away, and I would marry a Carolina girl and be in love for the rest. I didn't even know Beth Snyder was alive. I believed God had her for me, but I didn't even know she was around. And I was a believer, and I was the first believer in my immediate family, my mom and dad and my sister And now my grandparents, as I will talk about them a little bit later on, my grandparents were sold out for Jesus. And I'm both sets of grandparents, and I'm so thankful for that. Because I had two grandmothers that were not afraid to humble Brandon Griffin. I'm so thankful for that, and gracious that God was so good to me to give me grandmothers and grandfathers that loved me. And buddy, they would flat tell me the truth. So with that in mind, when I became a believer, I started listening to this radio program. I did not even know you could listen to preachers on. I know this may sound so bizarre, but it's true. This is how far away I was from the Lord. I didn't know you could listen to preaching on television and listen to on the radio. I did not know. But I started listening to this program called Focus on the Family with Dr. Dobson. And I remember, I would take my lunch breaks to listen to Dr. Dobson and eat my sandwich. And I would listen to these different men and people that he would have on. And I would think, I want a family like that with these. And he had a man on who's been with the Lord for a long time called Larry Burkett. Y'all remember Larry Burkett? And Larry Burkett started this ministry. What was the name of it called? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. A ministry focused on helping people in the church, Christians, have a financial responsibility and do right with their money. These things were all new. Money matters. The Google, and Jason didn't do it. So anyways, and so I started listening to this guy because the teachers that I had around me were bad money managers. And so I started listening to this guy and writing and getting tapes. And that was back in the day. You remember they'd send you cassette tapes and listening to these tapes. And I, at a young Christian believer, I made a decision that I was going to hunt down people that I knew, that I watched, and I watched how they were living their lives. And I thought, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to ask them, tell me how to manage my money. I want you to teach me what to do. And there were principles that everyone, and I gave them time. I didn't put them on the spot. I was like, this, we can meet, we can, but give, I want you to just, you tell me what you, I want to hear from you. And there were things that every one of them said. Now, this was, listen, Brandon Griffin was not smart. This was God leading me, okay? And it was amazing to me how these five or six couples that God had blessed and was blessing their families and blessing their ministries and blessing their works. And they were saying the same things. And I was sitting there going, this person said this and this and this. And so I put together a plan before I met Beth. And I said, I'm living by this plan before God. So when Beth, you know, when I met Beth, that was one of the things we had to work on when we were engaged. What are you laughing at, honey? Is financial responsibility. And we came to this, and so I'm going to share with you some points. But God brought me to this passage, and you may think, a passage out of Haggai? What? Let me read it to you, and then you will understand. And I've preached on this passage once before, years and years ago, but I'm going to share this verse, and then I'm going to share some points with you. It's out of Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. It says this, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." This verse right here is where the majority of America is at. And I'm going to even say the majority of evangelical America. Let's narrow it down to us, to our folks. Let's say committed Christian folks. This is where the majority of our Christian folks live. Okay? Is that they work too hard. They do too much for too little. That's a sign of you got to get things in order. There's plumb lines throughout this. And so how do we make this work? And before I start, I want to tell you, and I'm going to hopefully at the end, I'm going to get back to this testimony. But before we start, I want to share one little testimony with you. I had the distinct pleasure of leading my mother and father to the Lord. And when my father came to know the Lord, things radically changed, not just in my life, in my family's life, but in my whole family's life. And one of the things that changed so drastically in his life is how he dealt with money. Because we grew up poor. Poor. And when my dad finally got a decent job, a good job, my mom and dad went so far in debt. And then guess what God did? Broke them. And when my dad came to know the Lord, they were so strapped in debt that they were really worse off than before. But when he came to know the Lord, he was like, "This has got to change. How I deal with money has got to change." And he made a radical change that even to this day, like I went over early, I left Tuesday to go meet with my mom and help my mom with some things, some situations, finances. And one of the things we talked about is what Jesus did in their lives over money and how to this day, even after my dad is gone, God is still taking care of my mother. And what a blessing that is. And that's just God. It's just God. It's not my dad. It's not my mother. It's not because Brandon. It's none of that. It's just the grace of God doing this, convicting them and them repenting and getting things right. So why I'm telling you this is because it doesn't matter where you are, at what age you are, you start doing it right now, and you will be shocked at what God does. I'm telling you, He is the Redeemer. You just do it right. You decide today that you're going, and if you need to go to your children, your adult children, and repent and say, we've done it wrong, and I don't want y'all to follow, because generational sin is a real deal, guys. Okay? And if you have to go back and say, I've been wrong, and I need to confess this, and I've messed y'all up, and you probably need counseling, and we got some good people for you to go counsel, and then Beth and I'll give y'all somebody's number. That's a joke. So I'm going to give you some principles, okay, that are close and have never left very far from me. And it's these principles are things that I hammer on my children with. I mean, we have these discussions often in my home. And so I'm going to share them with you. So what do you do now? What do we do right now? Here's some principles. Number one is this. You acquire money through work. You work. 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 Get after it. Earn money by working. And you work. Let me give you some passages. And again, if you want these notes, I don't mind. I'll give them to whoever wants them, okay? With all the scribbles. So here's a few passages. The first one is Proverbs 28:19. Says this. 28:19. He who tills land, his land, he who tills, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in each of these verses, and I'm not going to unpack. There's so many we've got to do. But he who tills his land will have plenty of bread. But he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. You work, you have bread. You play games, you have poverty. It's just how it goes. That's the math of that. A passage that I have to share with you, or my grandmother will haunt me tonight. And there's a couple of things that you're going to hear from me today that's from my grandmother. But this is one, is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says this. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who's in need. Try that principle on for size. You work, and you work hard so that you can help others, huh? You get after it. Hard work brings self-respect. We've been going through Genesis and the curse, and God cursed us. And do you know part of our redemption is what? Work. That God cursed us from the fall, that we will toil and sweat and labor over the earth. And so part of our redemption is just working. Just work. You know, and I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard for me to fuss at Miss Jessie. But I do. Now, when she gets a ladder out and climbs on top of a roof, there is a line, okay? But I'll be honest with you, and Jesse knows this. I can't tell you how much we talked about this when John was alive and sick. I mean, John was sick. And do you know what John would be doing? Working. Do you know the day he didn't work? And I remember Jesse getting so mad at him. Jesse, I'm sorry. Being so mad at him because he was so sick and he would be outside working. And I remember having these conversations and going, Jesse, this is right. I'm going to just say it and be, he wants to die with his boots on. He did. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let this happen. Working is good. It's therapeutic. Do you know some of the reasons why we have anxiety and depression and all? I can tell you this. Because they have too much time to be thinking about how they feel. I'm just straight up. Work, yes, ma'am. You can say, today, you can ask any questions you want. And Miss Jessie, yes, ma'am. Yep. Yep, absolutely. And even if you feel worse, you feel better. Right? Work. 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 Get after it. Don't sit back. Don't take it easy. Listen, you have all eternity to spend with Jesus and worship. And guess what? You won't have any labor. No toil. No strife, no struggle. You have all eternity. This is not our home. Do y'all remember last week's message? Okay. Work. Work also keeps us from being idle. Do you know the people that are the most productive have the most stuff to do? They get after it. And you work and you have more stuff to do. And you get after it and you work and you have, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you this, that's a gift from the Lord to be able to get out there and to do it and work. It keeps us from falling into temptation. My grandmother, Buddy, you couldn't sit down. She would give you a job, and Lord have mercy. I don't think any of us, my uncle, my favorite uncle, and if he's listening, he'll. Goodness, I hope my other uncle didn't listen. It is 13 years older than me. And so if you sat down for more than 5 minutes, you had a job. And Buddy, if you ever said, I'm bored or I'm tired or I'm, she loaded, I mean, and how do you tell grandma no? I couldn't. And I was mean. I was a mean youngin', and I couldn't. And she said this, idle hands are the devil's workshop. She would look at me and tell me all the time, Brandon, when you don't have anything to do, you're in trouble. And she was right. She was absolutely right. And she knew how to keep Brandon Griffin out of trouble. Guess what it was? Work. Work. She'd put me to work. She'd put me to work. I think sometimes Grandma grew potatoes just so I could go out there and hoe them up. That was the only reason she grew them. So it was time, and she would say, go out there, get them all. Now, honestly, as a boy, a little boy, y'all know, hoeing potatoes, that's kind of fun now because you get dirty, you know, and especially a little troublesome little boy, he really gets dirty. And she'd let me do it by myself. God only knows. Honestly, I wish I could ask her. I've thought before. After I left, I wonder how many times she went back down that row and got all the potatoes that I missed. But that's the love of a godly grandmother. You know what I'm saying? Let him go. Let him do it on his own. Let him learn this. Don't come back in. She knew. Don't come back in till that bucket was full. I couldn't even pick up the bucket. She knew. She knew. Hard work was a good thing. If you want to be poor, chase the wind. Go after unproven schemes and irrational dreams. I can't tell you how sad it makes my heart when I look today at our young generation, and there are people, y'all may not know this, and I really don't know what I'm talking about, but there are people that are getting famous by doing just dumb stuff on their phones. They're like, I don't know what you call, what do you call it? It's called, it's something famous. TikTok famous or what? Yeah, whatever. Flip-flop, Insta-scam famous. Social media, there you go. And I'm sitting there going, y'all are making money off doing this? That's demonic. They don't know an honest day's hard work. When we have a chance and we sit down with these young people, and I cannot tell you how many discussions I've had with where I've said, tell me what you are going, how are you going to provide for your family? How are you going? And I cannot tell you, sadly, how many times I've heard some of the craziest things, how they are going to provide for their family. And I've said, that's great. I think we need a plan B. Because if plan A, which I'm going to tell you is not going to work, you're not going to the NBA to play basketball, you're 5'3", and you're white, you're not going to the NBA. Okay? So, but we need a plan B. Don't be lazy. This is all in point one with working. Point one, work. Don't be lazy. I will tell you this, there is one thing that I struggle with. I am not a prejudiced person. I'm not. But there is one thing that I struggle with. Laziness. Boy, it gets all over me. I mean, and it's hard for me to not say things, and it's very difficult. I've told you the story about the first time when Herman was living with us. And when you're in the Griffin household, you work, you have a job. That's just how it is. You love your Lord, your God. You are a God worshiper, and we worship together, and you work. That's just how it goes in my home. And all of my kids work. And so, well, Kate's the baby. She's growing up in the fat years. But Kate, we need to find Kate a job, like, quick. She's all my other kids had jobs by her age. But laziness is not tolerated, period. It's against God. It's wrong. It's wrong. Recently, I had a discussion with somebody in my extended family who was telling me, fussing at me, that even while my kids go to school, listen, even while my kids are going to college, they work. That's just how it is. And they were fussing at me about, your kids should go to college, and that should be the time where they should have a good time. And I went, who wrote that rule? I want to know where that rule is written and who wrote it. And they were fussing at me about this. And there were some other things that they were complaining about. But I looked at them and I said, my children are graduating from college debt-free. No, they're not. They could not believe it. No, they're not. They are not. There's nobody can do that today. Laziness. I'm going to give you some verses here. Proverbs, y'all need to write them down, or because I can't wait. Proverbs 6:6-11. Go to the ant, you slugger. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain or overseer or ruler, there's nobody ordering them around, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food for the harvest. How long will you slumber, O slugger? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armored man. All right, let me go to the next one. Proverbs 10:5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Proverbs 12:27. The lazy man does not roast. I love this verse. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possessions. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Doesn't that sound familiar? I want, but they don't have jack. But the soul of the diligent shall be rich. I was going to tell you a story about Herman. I don't know why I got side swiped, but 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. I'm telling you, little Griffin, when I was a little one, buddy, my grandmother, I could have quoted that verse, and I didn't even know what quoting verses was. But I heard her say it so much. Stop talking. Work. I can't remember. 1915. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. 20:4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. God's people don't need to beg. Amen. That's just the truth. 21:25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. 24. Chapter 24, verse 30 through 34. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with needles. Its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered the well. I looked on it and received instruction. So it's this guy walking by this field and looking at it. And the field, he's learning by just looking at this field. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Okay. If you're diligent and you work hard, you let the Lord deal with the money side. Right? You just do what you're called to do. You be faithful. You work. And you let God be God. Now we're going to get into some other things. It's noble to work. It's a noble thing. And you should always do it as you do unto the Lord. Colossians 3:22 and 24. Do all things unto the Lord, right? So no matter what our jobs, no matter what our callings are, no matter what we're doing, do everything we do as if you're doing it to the Lord, right? People ask me all the time, I mean, I get this question so much. How do you do it? How do you continue to pastor and be a pastor in this world today? And I will tell you that it's one simple rule. I do it as unto the Lord. It's like any other profession, right? You do it like you do it, like you would be work, like the Lord is your direct boss, which, by the way, He is. And you just do it. You work. You just work. Right? As unto the Lord. Okay. That is point number one. Point number two is this. Save. Save. I don't care how poor you are. It does not matter. You may be sitting there, and I know, and listen to me, have confidence when you go, because some of y'all I know right now are thinking, I need to go talk to my adult child or whoever. I need to go talk to my friends or whoever. I know you're going to hear this. We hear this all the time. We don't make enough money to save. But they sure do have a lot of money to do a lot of other things. I'm just being honest. When I first heard Cap Pusser make this statement, it troubled me. And then I realized he was joking. but it caps so cold, or so, you know, straight faced that he would talk about when him and Joyce first got married and how poor they were. And he said, but you know, once a month we would have steak, and boy, it was the best steak in the world. And he said, and I said, well, Cap, how did you do it? He said, well, we saved our cigarette and beer money. And I was like, and I walked away the first time I heard that. I was a little troubled, I'll be honest, because I was like, was he serious? And then I got in the car, drove away, started laughing and going, Griffin, come on now, get with the, he was joking. He saved his big beer and cigarette money. He put money aside. He put money aside. I will tell you this, and you can ask some of these people in here. It doesn't matter how poor you are. Everybody can save. And if the Word of God tells you to save, why don't you trust it and see what happens? Just trust it. I remember when we first got married, Lord, we didn't have two nickels to, this is the honest truth, we didn't have a nickel to rub together. And when Beth lost our first baby and I was out of work and she was out of work and we were in school, we were so poor. And I remember her coming and going, how are we going to buy groceries? And I know this shocks you, but your pastor was prideful enough. I didn't call mom and daddy. And I didn't call her mom and daddy. I literally looked in my pocket and we scraped up $1.53. And I made the biggest pot of beans you had ever seen in your life. And she was like, just beans? And I said, yep. And I said, but it's going to get us to Friday when we can get paid. And we ate beans. And do you know, to this day, that's one of the greatest memories. We love that memory. And teach it to our kids. And we ate beans. I mean, we ate beans. Beans. Beans, beans. And they were wonderful beans. They were wonderful. Do you know the difference between good beans and bad beans? Now I'm going to tell you. Do you want to know? About 2 hours. Because you get hungry enough and beans are good. Beans are good. About 2 hours. Save money. Proverbs 21:20. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Back then, oil was a way of saving. They would purchase ointments, and that's why the alabaster jar that Mary broke and anointed Christ's feet with was so precious, because that was her savings. She gave the Lord all of her savings. They would buy these oils and they would put them in places in their home, and that was part of their savings. That's how they saved. They didn't have banks back then. They didn't have a way of investment in doing these things. That was an investment. So they would buy these oils at a lower price. And guess what? As they kept it for years, guess what happened? The price increased. These things are not new principles, guys. But we've got to teach it to the young. We need to teach our kids. We've got to teach them. Our grandkids. We got to teach them. Because I'm telling you, we'll get to that part, what the world is teaching them. Save. Did I read chapter 30, verse 25? 30:25. The ants are a people not strong. This is why these are why I picked these verses out. The ants are poor. They're on the insect world, they're poor folks. The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer, meaning they know that they're supposed to get ready. They're not strong folks, but they know they should get ready. You should save so you can prepare for when you can't work or when you're not able to earn as much as you were. You need to know that the unexpected is coming. Listen, we live in a fallen world. This is one of the points that I wanted to bring up. We live in a fallen world. Bad things, listen to me, are going to happen to every one of us. Every one of us. But do you know how young folks plan for today? They plan on future money without planning on future catastrophes. That's how they think. They're planning and hoping that future money is going to come in, but they don't think about future catastrophes. Guess what? That comes together. Winter comes and summer comes. You prepare in the summer for the winter. These things happen. Unexpected things happen. Rainy days. You've heard this. You will never ever be prepared 100% for every issue in a fallen and broken world. It's impossible. But count on something happening. Just count on it. Listen to me. I wasn't going to share this, but I am. Today is the 1-year anniversary of my heart attack. Happy birthday, truly. When you get life flighted and you spend a week in intensive care, that is not cheap. And on top of that, Biden changed a law last year in October. Well, it was the year before, but we didn't know it until last year. In October, he wrote a new law. I want y'all to know that y'all have heard this before. Pastors are in a total IRS category by itself. We are the only people in America that are employed by a church but considered self-employed. Did y'all know that? So we're employed, but we're self-employed. So we have to pay. There's all kind of tax regulations. Well, guess what? Biden changed the rules on us in October, even though we were almost through the whole year, and we had to pay really double, triple the tax. We didn't know. We know this year, but we can plan for it this year, right? Or last year. But so in last year with a heart attack, and then we get a letter from the IRS, and if I told y'all how much we had to pay, y'all would be stunned. So rainy days happen. But are you ready for them? Are you going to be wise? And even though you're setting money aside, you don't know what that is for. And are you ready? Are you being wise enough to say, we need to set money aside? I don't care what it takes. Set money aside. I hope to God that none of you guys have to ever go through medical hardships, but you probably will. And I hope you really never have to deal with the IRS, but you probably will. But there's a whole lot of other things. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you saving? And do you know what? It's amazing to me how when you consult the God of the universe and say, Lord, how much, how much do I need to save? It's amazing how the Lord will lead you to save the exact amount you need. I know I can get some testimonies. How you put, you may think $15 a month is not a lot, but it's amazing how when those crises and you have to be disciplined not to touch it. When those crises come, guess what happens? It is stunning how you are able to pay it off. It's almost like the Lord knew. Duh! Right? But I tell you, He will load your little red wagon up to break it down. Now I'm going to tell y'all this, and this is all praise to God. Okay? As of this morning, today, the Griffins do not owe $1 of medical bills or the IRS one penny. And it is not because Brandon Griffin figured it out. It's simply solely because of the Lord. Do you hear me? And I can show you, I have a file this thick of nothing but medical bills. And God, you know that little jar that Beth passes out to all the ladies for y'all to put blessings in? Buddy, I can't wait for us to read blessings where we read what the Lord has done for us through the whole year. Man, there's some good ones. Be saving. Trust our sovereign Lord. Trust Him. Do what is right and trust Him. Just trust Him. Point number three, and y'all need to hurry up. Plan. I'm going to do this quickly. Plan. Have a plan. Have a budget. Ooh. Ow. Ugh. Have a budget. Have a budget. Can I say it one more time? Have a budget. I'm going to let you look at Proverbs 27, 23 and 24 and Proverbs 17, 18. Don't spend more than you take in. If you have a budget and you're laying everything out and you're saying, Lord, this is what you've given us to raise this family, and you have to lay everything out, then you live by that budget. And if you need help in making a budget and working on a budget, I can help you. We can help you. A budget, a plan. And this is the question with all plans or with all budgets. Do you have self-control? Can you control yourself? Are you trustworthy with the money that God gives you? That's the answer. Money God gives you, are you trustworthy with that? The money that the Lord gives you through your job, through Are you trustworthy with that money? Because it's his money. And listen to me, he can take it away. It's not yours. It is not your money. I don't care how hard you work. I don't care who you work for. It's not your money. Right? Right, guys? It's God's money. Do with it what He wants you to do. And when you have extra money, don't go, woohoo, I could do. No, say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this $10? Right? Lord, what do you want me to do with this pocket change? Lord, what do you want me to do with this $1,000? It's His. It's not yours. You don't decide what you spend it on. Do y'all know that? Plan. Budget. Ask Him. Write a budget. Get it down. Do it right. Here's reasons for not having control over your money. For not having self-control. Number one, you just flat were taught wrong. Nobody's taught you rightly. Number two, marketing. Let me tell you this. Never before. My grandparents didn't have to be bombarded with all these things that you have to have. Lord have mercy. Every time I see a pizza commercial, I want pizza. I'm a pizza eating machine. My grandparents never had to deal with the bombardment of marketing. And do you know the strategy of all of those commercials is to get you to spend money? And buddy, they are targeting you specifically. And they know who's watching what and who's listening to what and who's... You can't go on any social media. There's advertisement marketings on social media. Television is a lot. That's... I don't even know how the cable companies are still in existence because that's an old thing. But there's still marketing is marketing to... And they know y'all's flavor of ice cream. And they know what to put up in front of you to get you to buy. My grandparents didn't have to fight with that. They were outside tilling in the garden. And they only had three channels. And it was black and white. Well, they did eventually get color. Three is image. And this is what I mean by this. How you see yourself, your desires, your fleshly, like, I can just see myself driving around in a pickup truck. How image, your own image. Four, laziness. Listen, it's just easier to say yes to your flesh than to say no. It just is. Yeah, I want this. Yeah, I got $20. It's just easier to say yes than no. Number five, credit card debt. Covetousness. Just wanting. Let me tell you, you need to have a plan. A daily plan, a weekly plan, a monthly plan. You need to have a yearly plan. You need to have a long-term plan. You know, what if I didn't pass away 1 year today? Matter of fact, probably this time 1 year ago, they were actually working on me still. What if I didn't pass away? But I was disabled, really seriously disabled. The Griffins have a plan. What if I would have passed away, God forbid? As hard as this is, I have sat down with Beth many times, and I hope y'all, Ricky, you, I hope you have with Don. I hope every man here with his wife has sat down. Because listen, the men are probably more than likely going to go first. But I have sat down with Beth many times and had conversations and said, this is what I want you to do. Right? A plan. A plan. And I'll be honest, this has come about partly because of what has happened in my life, what we are going through as a society right now, because I'm telling you as your pastor, hard times are coming. Hear me. And if you are not prepping, preparing, you are going to get caught. And when this happened with Paul and me thinking through this, we got to have a plan. As your pastor, I want y'all to have a plan. Amen? I care about you guys. But this is the key to your planning. 1 Corinthians 7:23. Write it down. You have been bought at a price, and do not be slaves to any man. 1 Corinthians 7:23. The Lord Jesus bought you. Don't be enslaved to men. Amen? Godly stewardship. You loving the Lord and understanding that it's His will motivate you to do what's right. Number four, and we're almost done. We are almost done. Learn to be content. Learn to be content. I'm going to read a few verses. The first verse is Proverbs 23. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Stop it. Verse 5. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? It's a question. For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle towards heaven. They're fleeting, guys. They're fleeting. Don't prize riches. Be content. I'm going to read a verse that I just have to read it. And it's one of the most misunderstood verses of all of Scripture. And you see it on... some of you even know what I'm going to read. You see it on bumper stickers and on t-shirts and Christian t-shirt, and they use it all the time, and it's so abused. They misunderstand it. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 says this. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am in to be content. So Paul is saying, whatever the Lord puts me in, whatever state I'm in, I need to trust He's doing that and be content. I know how to be abased. Do y'all know what abased? This is a little different sermon. What's abased? That means low, ground zero. Okay? I've learned to be abased, and I know how to abound. Right? I know how to have nothing, and I know how to have a lot. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's talking about where you are financially, that you're trusting the Lord. Lord, this is what you've given me. This is the home you've given me. This is the family you've given me. This is the money you're giving me. Help me to be content in this, right? Just be happy, content. Stop. Stop yourself. Stop. Ah. One other passage. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Well, 6 through 10. I'm going to read the whole thing. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Are you ready? Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now listen. Let me, before we go any further, think about that verse. Being godly, mature in your faith. That's what that word means. Plus contentment. So that means Paul is writing this to this young pastor, Timothy, in Ephesus, where they're bombarded with riches. And so that means Timothy, there are people, godly people, that aren't content either. Okay? It doesn't mean just because you're godly that you're content. He's saying godliness and contentment. So it's something you and I need to add. Do you understand? It's something that you need to, that's why this is a separate point, that we need to learn that you know the Lord Jesus, you love the Lord Jesus, you want to do right. These things that I'm even sharing with you this morning are important, but you need to add this. It's an addition to this. That godliness with contentment is great gain. And believe me, brothers and sisters, some of the most wonderfully peaceful people that I've ever known in the faith are some of the poorest people that are okay with walking with Jesus. And some of the most wealthy people that are okay with their relationship. They don't care about anything else other than Jesus. To the extremes. Because it takes all of us. And God's the one that does this. He's our managers, right? He does this. It's His money. Okay, let's keep going. For we brought nothing into this world. This is verse 7. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Amen? Glory. Lord, have mercy. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Now it's this pursuit of riches. Okay? That's the difference. He's not saying rich. If you're rich, he's saying if you desire this, if you desire to be rich, you fall into temptation and a snare and into foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is so misquoted. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, not the root. It's a root. It's this. You need to be careful with this, guys. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with a sword. Let me tell you, I shared this with y'all a few weeks ago. I'm struggling in my heart. I'm worried about my kids. Because my kids are going to do better than me. They're so much surpassed their daddy. And I'm worried about financial gain in their life. Because it will flat ruin you. And I'm worried about them. So what do I do with my children that I'm worried about? I'm sharing this with you guys. I'm being vulnerable. I pray. I can tell you that a lot. And I go to them and speak directly to them about this issue. And then thirdly, I let God be God, because you guys know and I know, because of ourselves, youngins have to learn it the hard way. Right? And we did too. Right? Amen? We did too. We did too. All right. Learn to be content. Train yourself to say no. Deny your flesh. Deny yourself. Be happy. Be most happy with your standing before the Lord. Amen? All right. Last, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. The last principle. And I'm going to give you a list of verses, okay? And I'd already planned on doing this before. I wasn't going to read these to you, but I'm going to give you a list. So write them down before I tell you the point. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Proverbs 19, 17. Luke 6, 20, 38. Luke 6, 38. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, Galatians 6, 7 through 10, Colossians 3, 23 through 25. This is the last principle. Give. Give. And I'm not going to sit up here. You will never, ever hear me say, you need to give a certain percentage. I don't. But I will tell you this. You give according to the blessings that the Lord has blessed you. I'm just being honest. And I tell you, and you have heard this, but I am going to share this with you. You will never, ever outgive God. You give, and He's going to bless you beyond you in ways you can't even imagine. And it doesn't mean financially. It doesn't. Matter of fact, it may mean so much greater than finances. You give, and you give, and you give, and you pour out, and you give the Lord back His money. It's His money. You give it back to Him. And wouldn't it be great if we could live off 10% and give Him 90%? Wouldn't that be awesome? That would actually be correct, wouldn't it? Lord, You've given us this. I'll live off 10% and give You 90%. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you several stories. Do you remember the store J.C. Penney? John Claude Penney started out that store, and he started that store with the principle, begging God, I want to live off 10% and give You 90%. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think God blessed that store? I promise you. We've got this whole giving thing so so messed up. It should never be out of guilt. Listen, keep your money. If it's, I'm just telling you. Don't give your money to the Lord if it's out of guilt, because it's not helping. Should not be out of tradition. It shouldn't be. It should be solely and simply because you love Jesus most. That's it. And that it's not yours. It's not yours. So this is a story. My mom and dad got pregnant with me out of wedlock. Two young, rebellious people who fought against the Lord, and they were not going to be raised or live like their parents lived. And I remember my mom telling a story. This was one of the ways that she taught to us when we were little, and it helped harden our hearts against the Lord. She would tell us about how when she was a little girl in the mud hills of West Virginia growing up, that's where my grandparents lived. My grandparents were school teachers in West Virginia, in the coal mining area of West Virginia, which if you know, Steve probably knows being from Kentucky, that area is dirt poor. I mean poor, poor, poor. And they were teachers, which means they were making less than the coal miners were making. And my mom said she would be so mad because she needed shoes to go to school, and she would see the offering plate come by, and my grandmother and grandfather put money in the offering plate. And she said, I would be, and she goes, what kind of God would do that? Seriously. It was a God who took care of my grandparents until the day we put them in the grave. These two poor teachers in West Virginia. And they had every need they ever had met. And buddy, my grandparents gave to the Lord. And they gave more than they could ever afford to give. And they never went hungry. And they had everything they needed until the day they were buried. And this last Tuesday, I sat and looked at my mom. And I said, Mom, do you remember this? And she hung her head. She said, yeah. I remember telling y'all. And we talked about it. And I was like, Mama, look what the Lord has done. And she was like, wow. I'm going to tell you, we have more than we ever need. The Lord is faithful. And you give, and you give with a grateful heart, and you trust the Lord, and you give, and it's got to be a biblical principle. It needs to be between you and the Lord, and He will always take care of you. Always. He will always take care of you. So I see this generational stories, my grandparents, my mom and dad, and Beth and I. What else can I do? And I remember when I came to know the Lord and these things that I hunted. And it wasn't just about money that I asked these guys about. I would ask them about how to have a godly marriage. how to raise a family. Boy, I wanted to know because I wanted to get it right. Amen? And it is all in here. I hope, I pray I have done right. And I pray that this has helped. I do. I pray it's helped you. And I pray that y'all would use these and that y'all will go and talk to others. Please, let's help. Let's help. Amen? And some of you may need to just repent and say, I need to go back to my kids and say, I've taught you wrong. I've been wrong. Do it. Do it. It's right. All right? You guys are awfully quiet. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and this time. May you get the honor in Jesus' name.